Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we continue to deal with the subject of giving as it comes up in our Standard Baptist Church Covenant in paragraph 2. And I'm trying to show you the advantages of giving regularly on a weekly basis. The church covenant tells us that we commit ourselves to giving regularly, and the Apostle Paul suggests that we ought to give on a weekly basis. Now, the covenant says this: we engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expense of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. To contribute cheerfully and regularly. The covenant does not spell out what is meant by regular giving. Obviously, it means not to give haphazardly, not to give sporadically, but to give regularly. And most everybody has some kind of regular income cycle, and so if the giving matches your receiving, if your giving matches the way you get your income, then of course it'll be done on a regular basis. But I'm trying to challenge you to at least consider the possibility of giving on a weekly basis regardless of your income cycle. And this is suggested to me by the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verses 1 and 2. When Paul says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also on the first day of the week. Let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." The Apostle Paul taught the Corinthian Christians, and presumably all of his churches, all of the members of his churches, all of his churches and the members who inhabited those churches, to give on the first day of the week. That's regular. But why do that every week? Well, as I started to tell you on the broadcast yesterday, because we gather for worship every week on the first day of the week. And it seems to me that the Apostle Paul is tying our worship patterns to our giving patterns. It seems to me that that's what he's doing. Again, now on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. I covered in the broadcast yesterday that I think this is talking about storing up at the church, a church fund, because the collection is taken every week, and there will be no collections when Paul comes. And if everybody were storing it up in his own private repository, then of course there would have to be a collection when Paul came. One big collection at the end of the cycle for the project. So this involves giving in connection with worship. We gather for worship week by week on the Lord's Day. Therefore, we give week by week when we gather together for worship, is what it seems to me the Apostle Paul is teaching us here. And I told you that my custom, even though I get paid once a month, is to give every week. And generally, I will sit down at the first of the month and write my checks for the whole month. That therefore heads off another problem that sometimes people have. And sometimes people say, if I don't give it when I get it, I won't have it to give. So if I get paid monthly, I go ahead and give it then. I give my tithe. I give whatever offerings I purpose to give beyond my tithe. I go ahead and give it then and get it done so that I won't be tempted to dig into that amount that has been committed to the Lord later in the month. Well, I would say that if you have a problem with that, if you're dealing with the lesser of two evils, on the one hand, the evil of not having something to give week by week when you worship God, and the evil on the other hand of spending the money that should have gone to God, well, I would say it would be better to give when you receive it. You get paid once a month, you get paid twice a month, every other week, you get paid some kind of a less than weekly basis, then by all means, if that's your problem, go ahead and give it. Better to give when you receive it than to fail to give it. But I think there's something that's even better than that. And that's to give and to distribute it, to budget it in such a way that you can participate in giving every week when you worship God. That, I think, is what Paul is getting at here, and why he says, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside. On the first day of the week, give something. You may not be able to give as much then as you will give on the first of the month if you get paid monthly. Maybe you should give the main part of your offering then to make sure that it doesn't get eaten up by demands later in the month. The problem, some people say, is that there's always too much month left at the end of the money. Okay, if that's your problem, go ahead and give the bulk of your offering at the first of the month. But it still is good to have something to give week by week, isn't it? So that you are entering into every aspect of worship every Lord's Day. What do? When we gather together to worship the Lord? We sing praises. Well, we ought to do that every time. We don't say, well, I did my singing last week, so I won't do it this week. No, we do that every time we gather. What do? We listen to Scripture read. Well, I listened to that last week. I've got that out of the way for the month. No, you do that again. You listen to a sermon. Well, I did that last week. I don't have to do that this week. Yes, you do. That's part of your worship. And part of your worship is giving. If giving is truly part of our worship, as I'm convinced that it is, then we ought to try to participate in that every time we gather together. Of course, another implication here is that Christian worship is on the first day of the week. Those who worship on the seventh day, Seventh-day Adventist, Seventh-day Baptist, there are such a thing as Seventh-day Baptist. I don't know any in this part of the country, but I've run to some in New England, and, you know, it is a denomination. There are people. And a sizable number of people, I don't know how many exactly, who call themselves Seventh-day Baptists and worship on Saturday. And those who do that, of course, have to come up with some other explanation as to why Paul said, take the offering on the first day of the week. On the first day of the week, let each of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there will be no collections when I come. Well, to most of us, it sounds like Paul is saying, take the collection, or give to the collection, on the day when you worship, when the collection is received. It does seem very strange, and could I say strained, to make this mean we have our meetings for worship on Saturday, but on Sunday we take our collection. That seems a very odd, and really seems like jumping through hoops to try to maintain a Saturday worship when the New Testament indicates that the day of worship has been changed from the seventh day to the first day. So that's a very strong implication of this verse. But there's another implication that I would like to suggest to you as well while I'm just spinning out different thoughts. And that is, I don't think that the modern day practice of giving by automatic checking account deduction, bank draft deduction, or credit card, automatic credit card giving that's done for you automatically is the best way to give. Well, you say again, it's a matter of making sure I get it done. I'm too prone to forget. I'm too prone to spend the money. So if I just give my church permission to go ahead and draft my account so much every month, then I know that I've fulfilled my obligation to support my church. And that's the best way for me to do it. I understand. And there have been times when I've been tempted to say I'd like to do that myself. But I don't. Why? Because that means that I don't actively participate in the worship of giving when I've gathered together with the saints of God to worship. That's what it means. It means it gets done for me, which is very passive, rather than active. I don't ask somebody else to sing for me. I must sing. I don't ask somebody else to pray for me. I must pray. I don't ask for somebody else to listen to my sermon for me. I must do it. I don't ask somebody else to prepare my heart for me before I come to worship. I must do that for myself. And I don't ask somebody else to prepare my giving for me. That's part of my preparation for worship. When I prepare my check, when I, as I told you, I prepare my checks a month in advance, but I don't put them in the envelope except week by week. I take that check each week, put it in my offering envelope, write in the amounts, seal that check, put it in my Bible, get it ready to go as a deliberate act of preparing myself for weekly worship. That's part of my preparation, just like praying and asking God to prepare my heart is part of my preparation for worship. We live in a day when we don't do much preparation for worship. When we think that if we just show up, you know, come flying through the door, panting, here I am, that's all that's required. Well, better to be there panting than not to make it at all, but even better to be there prepared. To be there not panting, but calm, collected, prayed up, with your heart prepared to worship God, to receive what God has for you at that time, that's better. And part of that, I'm convinced, is preparing your offering ahead of time so that you're not scrambling when, uh-oh, time for the offering. My offering's not ready. I've got to scramble and get it ready. Well, that should be all done ahead of time. But it should be done in such a way that now you can participate. Give. By the way, I think that's why it's superior to pass a collection plate in within the service than to receive it in a box in the vestibule on the way out. And again, I know I'm stomping on the toes of other people's customs. But again, it's because this is part of our worship. You say, well, it may offend unbelievers. Well, so may praying, so may reading scripture, so may preaching. But we do that because the reason for our gathering is primarily for the saints of God, not for the unbeliever. We're glad for unbelievers to be there, but we don't bend ourselves into pretzels in order to avoid offending them. We do the things that God tells Christians to do in worship when we gather together. We sing His praises together. We pray together. We listen to His word together. We give together. All of that is part of our worship to the Lord. May God give you His eternal peace.